You're listening to Spice Radio 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz with Mankir Nodula, and we're talking about a fascinating piece from the Tai called What Yoga Taught Me About Whiteness, Wellness, and Healing. We are now speaking to culture writer Jeevan Sangha, who wrote this piece. Jeevan, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I have to say, Jeevan, before we get into it, this was such an eye-opening piece for me because I sort of thought I knew everything about yoga, but I learned a whole lot. So before we get into the details, what made you want to explore this topic?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for saying that. I talk about it in the essay, but I've had this sort of fraught relationship with wellness and, like, movement throughout my life. I was an athlete as a kid and into high school, and then, you know, I sort of stopped playing sports and I was a runner, and, like, I was just in, like, trying different, I had a head injury, and then I started weight training, and, you know, since the pandemic, I just struggled to find footing in terms of, like, a movement pattern that worked for me and what felt healthy for me and not restrictive. I've had some, like, you know, unhealthy relationships with my health in the past, and so I have friends and family who are committed to, like, a solid yoga practice, and, like, I've just seen the effects it can have on their life. Like, they are genuinely, like, it has helped them heal their relationships with their bodies and, like, really be present in their bodies. And so that was a big part of me, like, embarking on this journey with, hey, this is a kind of movement that's, like, accessible and safe and, like, you know, obviously, like, I'm Punjabi, but that's also, like, in India. And so I think, like, a part of it too is, like, maybe there's going to be some sort of broad cultural tie there. Obviously they're not the same thing always, but, like, just wanting to have to explore that journey, I think, was something that was big for me. And kind of when I started, I noticed that things didn't quite line up to my expectations.
And let's get into that, because that's the part of the piece that's really fascinating, is we kind of have this view on yoga, but the West has certainly really had an impact on the way yoga is practiced. So can you tell us about when you start to discover something is kind of different here?
Yeah, you know, like, I'll just say, like, I live in Surrey, and ideally, like, with how many Indian people, South Asian people live in Surrey, I would think that there'd be, like, a lot more non-franchise studios, and I was kind of hard-pressed to find too many that were accessible to me, and maybe it's, like, a word-of-mouth thing, but a lot of the times found myself going to South Surrey for these, like, kind of intro sample free trial classes. And I just noticed that I was really often the only person of color in the room, almost always the only South Asian person in the room. And that, like, the way yoga was being practiced was really, like, it felt sometimes competitive, strenuous. And that's not that I thought that yoga would be easy. I just think there weren't a lot of, like, modifications for someone who's, like, new to the practice. And it just felt really intimidating and scary. And it was just such a big jump from what I saw or what I would hope to have seen from the people in my life. So, yeah, it was weird. I think there was very little discussion of, like, cultural origins. Like, where did these words that we're using come from? What is the spiritual meaning of this practice? Where does it originate from? We were kind of just, like, doing it. And being, like, the only South Asian person in the room a lot of the time, you know, it made me feel strange. And also acknowledging the fact that, like, you know, yoga has roots in ancient India and in Egypt, and in a lot of ways it is an ancient Hindu practice, and I'm Sikh. And so even, like, not directly being from the community that this originates from, but feeling that sort of disconnect was really, really jarring for me.
And the part of your piece that kind of really took me aback was when you talked to some folks who from the South Asian community who wanted to really share their traditional approach to yoga out here in the West, but people looked at them like, what do you mean? That's not how we do things here. Can you explain what happened there?
Yeah, so, I mean, a part of this whole piece was I wasn't feeling represented in the studios that I had visited thus far, so I thought, okay, there has got to be South Asians in the area who are trying to build places for themselves. And so I chatted with a few people. One of them was Melin Mon from Kevla Yoga in White Rock. And the other person was, or three people, I also chatted with Bram Kaur from J Yoga Studio in Coquitlam. And they were basically sharing how they are kind of trying to, you know, stay true to this traditional approach, which is much more, it really melds the physical with the spiritual. It's not just this sort of pursuit of, like, thinness and, like, flexibility and a toned physique and in a lot of ways whiteness. it's a much deeper, like, daily sort of practice and lifestyle for them. And, you know, in their early days, basically trying to find their footing in the industry in the Lower Mainland, they received pushback both from, you know, people in management at various studios in the city, and also, like, they could feel a sort of resistance to their approaches from the participants in the class. And, you know, Nalin Mon shared that he wore, like, loose, comfortable cotton clothing, and the reason that he wore cotton is because traditionally in his yoga practice, cotton is known to be a transmitter of energy. Energy moves through cotton really well, and it's also comfortable, and it gives you the ability to do all your poses. And when he came here and he noticed everyone in, like, tight athletic wear, he was like, well, that's not what I've worn. And there's no hate to anyone who chooses to wear a tight athletic wear, but I think his fear and his sort of feeling was, what if someone doesn't dress that way? What if someone doesn't feel that way, and they feel like, oh, no, this practice is not for me because we've created this idealized archetype? And, you know, Bram Kaur talked about being a curvy woman navigating this environment, and she's had studios tell her that people, the reason that she wouldn't be a good fit is because people want to be trained by people who look like them. They want to be taught by people who look like them, who have an ideal body type, or have imposed, like, these high charges when they're already qualified yoga instructors. And so it's clear that the system that has been set up is not built for people who are, you know, immersed in the traditional sort of approaches to yoga to succeed and build, like, lasting institutions for themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's the part that really got me, too, is the fact that, you know, you have people who really know what yoga is all about, and they're being told by people here, and, like, no, actually, that's not how we do things here. Mm-hmm. So I guess the next question becomes, Jeevan, is, you know, how do we create, you know, an inclusive space here?
Yeah, and so another person I talked to on that vein was Farah Nazrali, who's a yoga instructor and also the board chair of Yoga Outreach, which is a nonprofit in the province that does work to expand access to trauma-informed yoga. And so I think, you know, trauma-informed yoga is a really, like, non-instructive approach to yoga. It really doesn't assume that there's a hierarchy or that the instructor knows more than the person who's actually performing the poses. And that's one part of it. But I think also it's creating a space where everyone feels like they're operating at the same base level. Everyone feels comfortable regardless of experience, and really making space for, you know, these cultural conversations to come into play. I think there's a quote by Surya Roshin, which I'm going to butcher, so I'll just paraphrase, but essentially saying that it's not really necessarily about who is using yoga or who is, you know, owning the studio, but it's about how do we create a healed relationship with these modalities, like understanding that this is a practice that we have extracted from a part of the world and now we have exploited for our own profit. How many of these owners are in tune with what's happening in India? How many of these owners are in tune with, you know, political movements in India who are supporting, who are keeping up to date with the different lineages of yoga, or who are supporting South Asian-owned businesses through their work? You know, if this is something that they're able to profit off of, at the very least, they can create spaces where everybody feels welcome.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the lines that you wrote in your piece that I thought was really nice, right at the end of it, we are ever-evolving beings with the ability to start over at any moment. There is, I think, relief in reminding ourselves of that. Can you kind of expand on that? Because I thought that was really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you so much. I think what I was hoping to convey with that kind of last section was that, you know, yoga, if it's taught me anything in the short time that I've been able to practice it, that my physical and mental and emotional existence is all interconnected. And that when our bodies, like when we're moving our bodies and we're able to do something new for the first time, it's a sign to ourselves that we are actually capable of change. And that's a beautiful thing. I think sometimes we get stuck in, like, my body can't do this. And it becomes this, like, hard limitation in our brain. But when we're in these supportive environments and these environments that encourage us to, you know, healthily challenge ourselves in every sense of the word, it reminds us that we can change, that at any point I could wake up and commit myself to something new and become a different version of myself, hopefully become a better version of myself. And I think when we live in, like, this sort of capitalist society that encourages us to be hard on ourselves and overwork ourselves, it can be nice and relieving to remind ourselves that anything can change. We're not tied down to anything. We're humans, and that growth is possible no matter what stage of life you're at.
Very important reminder there. Jeevan, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. You take care.
Thank you. You take care as well.